Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and I'm not certain where in the world you are as you're watching this, but I'll tell you where we are. We're at Herb's House Coffee Shop here in Dallas, Texas. And Kent, we've got a great study today. It's in John 17, verse 21. And the title of this is Gospel Unity. And this is a part of Jesus's prayer. We call it the high priestly prayer that he offered up the night before he was crucified. This is what was on his heart and on his mind as he is interceding before the Father. And we read that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me.
Only have 10 minutes. Nine minutes now. You better hurry.
I mean, there's so much packed into this. I mean, I've used the illustration. It's like you're opening a closet door, looking at a pantry, and it's like AT&T Stadium. We can't get to the bottom of this. But Jesus prayed this, and this prayer is being answered. So he prayed that they, which refers to all who will believe down through the centuries in the gospel, may all be one. Now, what this really establishes, that there is a oneness in the body of Christ for every true believer. And I know after the English Reformation, there came denominations, and there came Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, and there was the Church of England, et cetera, et cetera. And so it kind of has this splintered feel. But in reality, there's only one true body of Christ that is comprised of every true believer, no matter where they go to attend and be a member of a local church. And they are all one in the gospel. Now, Kent, there are differences of understanding of certain passages on secondary matters and third level matters, but there is a perfect unity on essential matters of what a person must believe in order to be a true believer. I mean, you've got to be right about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be right about the terms of the gospel. You've got to be right about the Trinity. I mean, you've got to be right about salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so you must be right about eternity, either heaven or hell. I mean, there are certain essentials that we are one, regardless of where you go to church or what your group might believe. You have to believe these things in order to be in the kingdom of God. And that is what Jesus is praying here, that they may all be one. And so we have this same solid foundation in the Bible, in the Word of God. And then he gives this, the basis of our unity is really the unity within the Trinity. He says, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that really reflects how the Trinity is of one will and one purpose and one truth and one mission and one holiness. I mean, there is this solidarity, this unity, this oneness in the Trinity, and there is this same oneness in the body of Christ. So you don't have the Father doing one thing and the Son preaching something else and the Holy Spirit affirming yet another truth. No, it's all one body of truth that exists within the Trinity. And so that carries over to the church. And there is to be this same unity as there is in the Trinity. This is very simple, and yet it's profound. And this verse continues, John 17, 21, that they, referring to all true believers, also may be in us. So there's this threefold union. The Father is in the Son. The Son is in the Father, which represents their unity, oneness of purpose. And now we are in the Father and the Son. He says us, meaning Father and Son. And so, Kent, this is almost mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. This union that we have with the Father and the Son, as the Father and the Son have this union and oneness, and we're just all folded in together. And he gives the reason for this at the end of the verse. He says, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And so our oneness in the body of Christ really gives credibility to the gospel before the watching eyes of the world. And so when we're splintered, it diffuses the credibility of our gospel witness. But as we really pull together and stand together on the truth, it brings a validation to the watching eyes of the world. Well, Kent, I've kind of gone a little bit past my time, but it's just hard to begin to try to peel back the layers of this. What have you got for us?
Well, I think the first question is, Steve, is this saying that we all need to be the same, or is it saying, explain, we're not all to be the same. We're still different, but we're to be unified. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Well, of course we're different. Even God has given different gifts within the body of Christ. And he's placed us on different continents and different places and given us different IQs and given us different pastors that we sit under their preaching. And there's a great difference in the body of Christ. And so therefore, no one believer is a total package. No one church is even a total package, that we all need one another in the church, and we need the universal church of Christ. So there is this difference that really enhances our mutual dependence. And Kent, you have gifts that I don't have, and that, you know, Christianity is not a Lone Ranger religion. We need one another. It's a team sport.
So let's just talk about how we try to get along with each other, and whether we do that well or we do that poorly in the church. I think then what you're saying is, the number one point is, we don't need to necessarily change someone to be like us.
Right, right.
We need to be unified.
Yeah, our unity is in the truth.
Yeah, and be accepted that people are all different.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great point. That is a great point. And nowhere is there a greater difference than when I come to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Kent, I love where you and I worship together at Trinity Bible Church. I mean, so many different ages, so many different ethnic backgrounds, so many different social levels and economic levels. And when we walk into the building, Kent, it's a full panorama of life. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, we should be thankful for that.
We should be super thankful for that, because each person has a unique contribution to enrich the fellowship. And if we were all the same, one, it'd be pretty monotonous. Two, there would be so many gaps in our fellowship of things that are missing. But by this diversity in the body of Christ, there's so much wonderful overlap that it's just 1 + 1 + 1 = 20. You know, it's this leverage principle.
So what I guess two questions. You got about 40 seconds here. And then Satan, you'd have to assume Satan would love division.
Oh, absolutely.
And what specifically keeps us, me, you, divided and not unified with people like we should be?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it really boils down to selfishness, that we want things to be our way, it's hard for us to yield.
Yeah, it is.
And to consider the interests of someone else more important than our own.
Yeah.
I know we can get it fixed in our mind. This is the way the church needs to be. This is what needs to happen. And so when you get a church full of experts,
yeah,
it gathered together in one place, it's just chaos. And so that's why Philippians 2, 3, and 4, we have to consider the interests of others as more important than our own.
So you're saying the bigger picture then is not what we want.
Yeah, it's not worth dying on every hill.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was the virgin birth, okay, we'll go to the mat on that.
Right.
If it's we're going to sing three hymns instead of two hymns before the sermon.
Or one before.
Yeah. I mean, that's just not even worth getting flustered about. Even if you think you've got a better way to fix it.
Mm.
You know, as my boys would say to me, save your gunpowder.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not worth blowing up everything over this. Mm-hmm. So we have to be long-suffering with one another and not let others also rub us the wrong way.
That's hard. That's really hard.
It is hard.
We believe we're right.
It is. And this carries over into marriage.
Everything.
It carries over into friendships. So it's really a call for humility.
Yeah, it is.
Lowliness of mind, that I don't have all the answers. I'm not the expert on every subject. I need to learn from you.
Mm-hmm.
I need to yield to you.
Yes.
I need to wash your feet.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered a lot in this study, and I'm so glad that you've joined us of all episodes of Steadfast Hope. I just pray that God will use what we have discussed in your Christian walk in a very positive way. So, Ken and I look forward to seeing you for our next episode of Steadfast Hope.